Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, March 9th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Are you feeling the burn yet? I am on top of the world. Stayed up last night watching the election returns from the Democratic primary in Michigan, where Bernie Sanders outperformed all expectations and won the Michigan Democratic primary by about 2% of the vote. Yeah, Nate Silver over there at 538 was saying just yesterday morning, there was a 99% chance Hillary Clinton was going to win. She's up 18 to 22 points in the polling averages. It's going to be a blowout. It'll be the end of Bernie Sanders. And yet Bernie defied expectations, drove record turnout, and managed to win in Michigan. And winning lots of groups he's not normally been winning. He actually improved his standing with African-American voters to about 30%. And when it came to younger African-American voters, he took that demographic. He also took the demographic of white women. Hey, yeah, we are definitely feeling the burn here at the Russ Belville Show. And I've got a new post coming up later today on Huffington Post about this. And it's the subject of my radical rant today, because I'm going to go a little bit political today. I'm going to bring a little bit of the second hour politics into hour one. Normally, I just stick with just marijuana in hour one. But today, we've got a 2016 election-themed marijuana tangent to go on. First of all, we've got a recording of Bernie Sanders speaking to a crowd where he discusses his past marijuana use. And so that we will be bringing to you in a special Government at Work segment today, where we'll also take a look at Bernie's chances in the remaining Democratic primaries and his ability to overtake Hillary Clinton, the establishment candidate. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at marijuana in the NFL. We've been interviewing a lot of former NFL players like Jim McMahon, Marvin Washington, Ricky Williams, Nate Jackson, Kyle Turley, and they're all behind getting more exposure for medical marijuana in the NFL, lightening up the NFL's policies on marijuana use by players. So we'll discuss that in depth in behind the headlines. Also on the show today, I got word from my handlers at CannabisRadio.com who wanted some clips for promotional purposes. They wanted to be able to put together some ads and some promos of the Russ Belville Show. So that forced me to have to go through my archives, and I found the interview with my number one marijuana unicorn. You may remember some years back that former drug czar John Walter said, if you can find a nonviolent first-time marijuana offender in jail or prison, you'll have a story, because they're like unicorns. They just don't exist. So I had a contest to find out who did the most time for the least amount of marijuana. And that interview is our flashback interview tonight. It comes to us from all the way back in 2009 when I ran that contest. That's right, 7 years ago. And you'll hear from a young woman in Idaho who did the most time for the least amount of weed. You'll be stunned when you find out how much weed it was. Also on the show, like I mentioned, radical rant time. I'm going to go in depth into my rant. If we Bernie or bust supporters have to accept what happens on abortion, then the Hillary supporters have to accept what happens in the Middle East. All that's coming up on the Russ Belville Show, plus Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're live from Portland, Oregon, right here on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We'll be right back. The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. Virginia's General Assembly has shown strong support for letting a small number of facilities grow and to have medical marijuana oil dispensaries. The state Senate voted Tuesday to approve legislation that would allow these facilities to grow plants to produce cannabidiol oil for registered epilepsy patients. The Daily Press reports the legislation will need to be approved again next year by the General Assembly before it goes into law. Last year, the General Assembly voted to allow marijuana oils to be used to treat epileptic seizures. Taxes generated by Colorado's $1 billion marijuana industry are keeping some struggling towns solvent. About 938 dispensaries in 2015 yielded $135 million in state taxes and fees, 44% more than a year earlier. Colorado isn't alone in making money off pot as it emerges from prohibition. In Washington, where advocates sold voters on legalization as a way to decrease local government expenses, dispensaries generated $65 million in state taxes in fiscal year 2015, about $6 million of which was shared with cities. California may legalize retail sales this year in a ballot initiative that could generate as much as $1 billion in new state and local levies. The money is welcome relief. Some cities and counties are counting cannabis tax revenue as a windfall, using it to avoid borrowing for infrastructure upgrades and to prop up economies hammered by downturns in the oil and gas markets. The Pennsylvania State Department of Corrections currently spends about $2.5 million annually to house 97 people imprisoned for nonviolent marijuana offenses. Those 97 people span the state's 66 county correctional facilities. Those county facilities housed 35,439 total inmates as of December, the latest data available from the Department of Corrections. That's about $25,700 annually per inmate. The price of housing one nonviolent marijuana offender is roughly as much as telephone costs at the county's 19 district judge offices, the prison's printing costs, or the prison's bedding and linen costs. There are no nonviolent marijuana offenders in Philadelphia's prison facilities, according to Sean Hayes, public information officer for the Philadelphia prison system. The city decriminalized marijuana in October 2014, making possession of small amounts of marijuana, 30 grams or less, punishable by a citation and a $25 fine. A measure that would decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana has been revived in the Illinois Senate. A similar bill the General Assembly approved last year was allowed to die after Governor Bruce Rauner used his amendatory veto powers to propose tighter restrictions. The new bill, sponsored by Senator Heather Steens, a Democrat of Chicago, and approved Wednesday by the Senate Criminal Law Committee, incorporates the changes Rauner suggested.
Those include lowering the threshold for being ticketed rather than arrested for marijuana possession to 10 grams. The original bill set the threshold at 15 grams. The new bill also raises the range for fines to $100 to $200 from $55 to $125 in the original, and lowers the limit at which someone can be charged with driving under the influence. The limit in last year's bill was 15 nanograms per milliliter of blood, and the new measure would set it at 5 nanograms. The measure would also automatically expunge marijuana possession citations from people's records every 6 months. Sandwiched between the SLS Las Vegas and Stratosphere Hotel Casino Resorts, the Essence Cannabis Dispensary, which opens Wednesday, is the first such facility on the Las Vegas Strip. Medical marijuana has been legal in Nevada since 2000, but legal wrangling meant Sin City's first dispensary didn't open until last August. Since then, medical marijuana stores have been popping up around southern Nevada. It's illegal for people with medical marijuana cards from California and other states to transport their stash across state lines, but they can legally purchase and consume cannabis in Nevada with a doctor's note, thanks to a 2015 law that created reciprocity. The Keeping Missouri Kids Safe Coalition held a rally against legalizing marijuana at the Missouri State Capitol Wednesday morning. The coalition cited data from Colorado in its arguments against marijuana. According to Keeping Missouri Kids Safe, since marijuana was legalized, school suspensions and dropouts in Colorado went up 40%. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
We all know that Prohibition was a disaster. It forced alcohol into the underground market where it was controlled by criminals, and consumers did not know what they were getting. It made us a nation of hypocrites and lawbreakers. Marijuana prohibition has caused a lot of the same problems. That's why most Vermonters agree it's time for a more sensible approach. Tell your state senator it's time to end prohibition and start regulating marijuana in Vermont.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today's Cannabis Focus takes a look at CNN Health, which is asking, is it time for football to reconsider marijuana? They open by noting the NFL and NFL Players Association have a staunch policy prohibiting marijuana use, but some players are asking them to reconsider it, saying pot can be used for pain relief and possibly as concussion prevention. While many of the players are on board with medical marijuana, including those that are representing the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, which you can learn more about at gridironcannabis.com, it's not quite the same for some of the coaches and some of the staff in the NFL who are a little bit behind the times. I had a chance to run into former Bears quarterback Jim McMahon in Fort Worth, Texas earlier this last week, and he gave his opinion on how the coaches feel about medical marijuana in the NFL.
It features Patrick Moran, Scott Beer, Mark Slough, and Jack Spinkle.
Jim McMahon, Russ Belville from Cannabis Radio. We talked a lot about the NFL and the brass, you know, not being so
hip on this medical marijuana thing. You played for Coach Ditka. He's on this board for Gridiron Cannabis. How are the coaches and the team doctors reacting to this?
I think the coaches are, you know, a lot of the coaches are old school, so this is all new to them. I'm glad Ditka's involved. You know, he's been a leader in a lot of different ways, so have him on board is great. I think Kyle Turley has talked to him quite a bit about it. And, you know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers. Yeah, that's why you need water, you know. But I think he's finally realizing it's not a drug.
Jim McMahon speaking out for the need for medical marijuana. And at the event, he talked about the daily pain that he has lived with since his playing days and even during his playing days, and also remarked about the painkillers that he was forced to take while an NFL player and the deleterious effect they had on his health and well-being. We also got a chance to speak with Marvin Washington, NFL player who played for the Jets, the Niners, and the Denver Broncos, with whom he won a Super Bowl ring. And Marvin Washington even points at how the NFL's anti-marijuana policy, even the NFL knows that it's a joke, given how much warning they give the players about these upcoming drug tests. The former NFL player Marvin Washington.
And then the NFL went from 15 nanograms to 35 nanograms, and, you know, they have a test once a year. And so it's not a drug test to me, it's an intelligence test.
Now, last year, there was a class action lawsuit filed by against the 32 NFL teams by former players who alleged that the team coaches, staff, and doctors pushed painkillers on them to get back onto the field. That case has been transferred to a federal court in Northern District of California. There was a similar suit in 2014, but that suit was dismissed. During the last Super Bowl week, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said, quote, "It's an NFL policy, and we believe it's the correct policy for now in the best interest of our players and the long-term health of our players," end quote. And it's just remarkable that anybody with even a cursory investigation of what we know about concussion, head trauma, traumatic brain injury, and the ability of cannabinoids to help mitigate some of that damage and deal with some of the symptoms, to dress your opposition to that up in the idea of the long-term health of the players is ludicrous, Commissioner Goodell. Marijuana is not going to affect the long-term health of the players any more than having them run into each other at full speed multiple times a day is going to affect them. To be able to worry that there's going to be some sort of cognitive decline or mental decline among NFL athletes when clearly it's the concussions and CTE that cause these declines for these players, and cannabinoids can help alleviate and mitigate some of that, this is just a tragedy. If you're really concerned about the long-term health of the players, we should be rushing to get marijuana legalized. We should be blocking any attempts to try to keep it illegal. We need to get this medicine to the players as quickly as possible. And it's not just me waxing rhapsodic here about the benefits of marijuana for the brains of the players. It's the federal government. The federal government owns the patent 6630507 that is listed for cannabinoids as neuroprotectants. Neuroprotectants, able to protect the neurons in the brain from the shearing and the damage from concussion that a day-to-day life in the NFL is guaranteed to give these players. I encourage everyone to check out the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. You can find them at gridironcannabis.com. It's comprised of many former players who are now banding together and making this educational outreach to the NFL, its culture, its staff, its fans, to understand that there's no more time to wait. And that if we want to see football survive, as I do, I love football. I think it's an amazing and exciting sport. Despite the fact that it is guaranteed to cause injury to the people who play it, I'm sorry, I believe in people's rights to do with their bodies what they choose, even if that's bad for them. So I disagree with any of these calls to ban football. Now, taking the kids, the high school and the peewee kids, out of pads and out of helmets and making them play a flag, I'm fine with that. Developing brains should be protected, and kids do not yet have the statutory authority to be able to make those decisions about their bodies.
But for adults, once you hit 18, once you make it to college, you have the right to do with your body what you will. That said, it doesn't mean we should ignore how we can protect these players better. And that means legalizing marijuana.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Thank you, President Bush. It's one of the things I can agree with you on, at least in the context of these NFL players. We're really going to worry about giving them pot when we're filling them full of Vicodin and Lortab and fentanyl and all these other incredibly addictive and hepatotoxic painkillers? Give me a break. Happy 420 to the Super Bowl champ Denver Broncos. We'll be right back with our marijuana unicorns.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
Welcome back, everybody. And for Government at Work today, we are so excited about the win in Michigan by Senator Bernie Sanders, outperforming all the pundits and pollsters who said he was down by double digits and there was a 99% chance he would lose. And on top of that news, we've got this audio from Senator Sanders discussing his marijuana use in front of a crowd at one of his recent stump speeches.
I know that heroin is a killer drug, and we got to stay away from heroin, and we got to do everything that we can to make sure our kids do not get addicted to heroin. We also know, and people can argue with us till the cows come home and scientists dispute it, marijuana is not heroin. Now, I'm not here advocating for marijuana. I've done marijuana twice in my life when I was very young. And what it did for me is it made me cough a lot. That was my response. But I gather other people have had different experiences. I don't know. Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug alongside of heroin. I agree. And that is why I believe we should take marijuana out of the Federal Controlled Substance Act.
That's Bernie Sanders speaking before a crowd calling for the descheduling of marijuana, not like Hillary Clinton, who suggests rescheduling it so it's not in the ridiculous class alongside heroin and LSD, but in a little bit less ridiculous class alongside of meth and cocaine. No, Bernie Sanders is calling for the descheduling of marijuana, taking it out of the federal schedule, basically meaning no federal law controlling marijuana whatsoever. That would be left up to the states. So I'm very excited about Bernie's chances, especially after this big win in Michigan. And I want to give my listeners out there who may be Bernie Sanders fans some help in defending the candidate who is clearly the best candidate for marijuana reform in the race. And of course, this means going up against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination. One of the tricks the mainstream media and the Hillary supporters are trying to play on you is to make it feel hopeless. Hillary Clinton's got so many more delegates. Currently, the delegate count for Hillary Clinton, let me see if I can find a Democratic delegate count, had this up earlier, is an insurmountable lead. 1,221 delegates for Hillary Clinton versus only 571 for Bernie Sanders. It's just over and done. There's no point going on. Hillary's got such a commanding lead. Well, folks, most of those delegates, a lot of those delegates in her lead that make up her lead are the so-called superdelegates that are not pledged. They've said they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but it is not a fait accompli yet. This is all going to come down to the pledge delegates, those delegates that are decided by the votes of the people. And if Bernie Sanders goes to the convention with a lead in the pledged delegates, the delegates chosen by the people, it would be political suicide for those superdelegates to stick by Hillary Clinton. We had a similar situation go down in 2008 with Clinton and Obama. Those superdelegates will switch allegiances and back the winner among the popular vote. Another thing to consider is that Hillary Clinton has already been through her best states. She is performing best in the southern states with a large black demographic. But those southern states are the ones that are going to go for the Republicans come general election time. She has only won three states that weren't part of the Confederacy: Iowa, Massachusetts, and Nevada. Iowa and Massachusetts were so close as to be nearly statistical ties. Massachusetts was 1.4%. Iowa was 0.2%. And while she did win by 5.5% in Nevada, Sanders was down 46% in Nevada 2 months before and 23 points down 8 weeks before those caucuses and lost by just 5.5%. Compare that to his win in Michigan, which of course they're calling a narrow win, even though it was by greater than Massachusetts or Iowa, was about 2%, and it's way outperforming the polling. There are 11 of those Confederate states. 9 of them have already gone to Clinton. The two southern states left to vote are Florida and North Carolina. He's down by only 10 in North Carolina. He's down in double digits in Florida. However, he was down by double digits in Michigan, too. And he made up that ground. And now that he's winning, he's got momentum. And now that he's got momentum, he's got donations. The media aren't reporting to you how he's raising over $40 million a month while most of Hillary's donors are already tapped out at their max. She's already tapped out her major southern state advantage and her major donor advantage. Bernie's got nowhere to go but up. And the states that are coming up, Wisconsin, Utah, Idaho, Hawaii, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri. His performance in Michigan, in that Rust Belt state, hammering away at her support of disastrous trade deals for labor and her support of fracking in a place like Flint, Michigan, whose water's been poisoned, is going to make him even more popular in those Midwestern Rust Belt states. And electability? Sorry, Bernie Sanders is polling better than Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump and the Republicans. And keep in mind, Hillary Clinton is still under investigation for the email server that she had classified data upon. Anything could go down with that. So Sanders supporters who want to see marijuana descheduled, keep on fighting. It's going to be a long, hard fight against the Democratic establishment machine. But Bernie's going to win this nomination, and we're going to see a revolution. We're back with a marijuana unicorn after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
And now a flashback to 2009. Well, a couple of weeks ago here on the Daily Audio Stash, we played you some quite amazing audio from the drug czar, John Walters, who claimed that trying to find anyone in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent marijuana possession-only offense was like finding a unicorn. They just don't exist. Well, we put together a contest, passed the stash, to find the marijuana unicorns, and what do you know, I found a marijuana unicorn in my very own home state, the state of my birth, Idaho, and we're going out to Idaho Falls right now to speak with Catherine. And Catherine, thanks for joining us here today on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks for having me.
So had you heard that quote from the drug czar about the unicorns before you heard it on the Daily Audio Stash?
I had not. If I had, I'm sure I would have laughed.
Oh, I'll bet you would have. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your situation, what happened with you, and how you can prove the drug czar was wrong.
Okay. In about September of 2003, I was at my boyfriend's house. I was in college at the time, and I was in, like, the back part of the house doing my homework. And the police came because there was, the music was too loud or something. There were several people over there, but he came in, and we talked for a long time. He said, just turn the music down. And
this is the police that came over, right?
Huh?
This is the police that came over that you're talking to. Okay.
Yes, and none of us even noticed, but there had been a bong in the living room while we were talking, like on a shelf somewhere. And we seriously talked for like half an hour before he noticed. And somebody got a paraphernalia ticket for it, whoever claimed it, and then we all got a frequenting a place where drugs are used ticket, which from what I still don't understand exactly, but from what I gather, it means that you're in a home to distribute, buy, sell, use drugs.
Right.
And I originally pled guilty because I was like, well, I can't really prove my intent, but I wasn't, in fact, there to do drugs. I was there to see my boyfriend. And I went to, they put the court date back several months, and so I finally went in December. And I didn't know, I maybe should have looked or gotten a lawyer or something. I didn't even know it was punishable with jail time because they searched the rest of the house. They didn't find anything but that bong. And so I pled not guilty, you know, and said, well, I wasn't there to do drugs. And I went straight from the courtroom to jail for 20 days, got 2 years probation and a $300 fine.
Ooh. So you pleaded not guilty to frequenting a home where drugs were used. Was that the charge?
Yes.
Okay, so you weren't even found in possession of any marijuana, correct?
No, okay. There wasn't any in the house. It was just paraphernalia.
Okay, so you had no marijuana. Nobody else had any marijuana. The house had no marijuana. There was a bong sitting there. So yes. For being in the same room as a bong, you spent 20 days in jail.
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. That is unbelievable. So 20 days in the jail. This is the county jail?
It was.
Okay. Right. And this is out in Idaho Falls out there. So were you there in the jail by yourself? Were you locked up with other people? What was the situation?
I guess because they were supposed to be nicer or something when I first got there, they called them like the mother hens or something, but I was in a pod with a bunch of inmates that were waiting to go to prison, actually. Mm. Like, there was a lady who'd killed somebody, and, I mean, they were not...
So we had somebody who'd committed either manslaughter or murder. Any robberies, thieves, anything like that?
You know, she's the only one that really sticks out to me.
Okay. So there you are for 20 days, locked up with someone who's killed someone, and your crime was being in a room where there was a bong.
Yes.
Now, after the 20 days that you spent locked up, did you mention you had some probation to serve?
I did.
How long did that last?
I think I got off it. It was for 2 years, but I think I got off at like 13 months because obviously there was, I mean, I wasn't a user. They drug tested me and I passed and did everything I was supposed to do. Went to a drug and alcohol class. And
and this was conditions of your probation. You had to take, you know, mandatory random urine screens?
Yes.
Okay. And this drug and alcohol prevention class. Did they in the class mention anything about not going into rooms where a bong was sitting?
No, they didn't.
didn't come up, huh?
No.
Wow. I mean, I'm sorry to laugh at this because, I mean, it is horrible. It's just amazing to me that anyone would have to spend time in jail for marijuana possession, but to spend time in jail for just being in a room where there was a bong, that's just amazing to me. And this 20 days that you spent, what time was that? What time of the year?
It was over Christmas and New Year's.
Over Christmas and New Year's. So you got to spend your Christmas locked up alongside hardened criminals, one of whom killed someone because you were in the room with a bong. So you didn't get your Christmas. Did they at least give you a nice Christmas dinner?
You know, I try not to remember the food.
I'll bet. Oh, wow. I just don't know what to say about this. I, you know, when I was putting out this call for marijuana unicorns, I was pretty sure I would get people that would say, you know, I was caught with a joint or I was caught with a baggie or whatever. I didn't think I would get so many people that had gotten a hold of me where the charges didn't even involve marijuana that they had. It was marijuana that someone else had. And then I saw your case where there wasn't even any marijuana involved. That just blows my mind. I do want to cover a couple of things, Catherine, about this story. Now, you mentioned that the police came over because there was loud music going on. And so they came into the house and you were talking to them for about a half hour. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So let's point this out to everyone so they can learn from the mistake. If the police come over to your house for a noise complaint or whatever the excuse might be, you do not have to let them in your house. In fact, you should not let them in the house, particularly, you know, based on what happened to Catherine here. They want to get into that house so that they can look around and see whatever's in plain view. And if something's in plain view, they're going to act on it, just like they did in Catherine's case. They look around, they see a bong, they're going to act on that.
So folks, if you ever, you know, encounter the police at your home, at your residence, or even if you're at a party somewhere else and the police show up, always remember, go outside of the house, close the door behind you, and talk to the police outside. If they ask to come in, tell them they can't come in without a warrant. If they're asking to come in, they don't have the probable cause to come in. If they're asking you, they need your permission. If they could come in with probable cause, they would have just come in without your permission. So, and I'm not, you know, doing that to criticize you, Catherine, because a lot of people don't know that. And that's why we want to get that across here. So yeah, let's make sure everyone learns from that mistake. And, anything else you want to tell our audience before we go?
You know, I missed my first college finals.
Oh, wow. I missed finals and Christmas and all that.
And
I guess.
And all that. I actually spent, they let me have my books. They tore all my papers, like, out of the spirals so that I didn't have metal or anything. So I spent a lot of time studying, but I still didn't do very well when I got out because it wasn't conducive to studying. But
now, had you mentioned also in this case that you didn't have the assistance of any attorneys?
No, I didn't. And I would absolutely, especially, I mean, my original, the pre-trial, when I pled guilty, I was like, I'm guilty, I guess. And that was a different judge than I actually had. And she said, well, you know, if you weren't there to use marijuana and you didn't know it was in the house and all that, then you're not guilty. And I was like, well, you know, if it took a police officer half an hour to notice that there was a bong in the house, then how am I supposed to know?
Exactly. Right. So, when you look at everything that you had to do, you know, going to jail for the 20 days, the 13 months of probation and urine tests and all of that, does it look now like, you know, getting the lawyer would have been worth it as far as the expense goes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I mean, I didn't even know. You have to pay to be in jail.
Yes.
For your food and stuff. And I was really surprised at that. I was like, really? I have to pay you for being in here?
And yeah.
You know, I mean, I was a college student and I worked, but not very much. And the expense of it was enormous. But I think the biggest thing was, you know, when I first got in there, I was really confused. I was like, hey, what have I done? Because I felt like a criminal. I mean, I'm in jail and it took me a long time to like get over it and realize that I'm not a bad person. That I'm okay. You know, that there are people in here that do deserve to be here, and I'm not one of them. But that was really, really hard, because when you're treated that way, I mean, it feels like you must have done something to deserve that.
No, you absolutely didn't, Catherine, and that's why we're here, you know, fighting for the end of these stupid, you know, anti-marijuana laws that turn good people like you into criminals, at least in the eyes of the law. And there's something to be said about that, about, you know, reacting to how you're treated. I think there might be some people in our community who, you know, feel like criminals. They feel like bad people because that's what they're constantly told. And they're not. They're good people. They're no worse than anyone who likes to drink a beer now and then. I mean, we're just good, hardworking citizens. How's everything going for you now, Catherine? Are you having any troubles in school? Did this conviction affect your student aid or getting jobs or housing or anything like that?
Well, I'm about to find that out. I just applied to the nursing program at Idaho State University, and we'll see if they, because really any drug charges at all, misdemeanor or felony, they do really care about.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping, especially because after this, you know, I researched, and in most, I think there's one other place, and I can't remember where, but this isn't even recognized as a charge.
Right, right.
Well, I really, really pray that it doesn't affect my ability to become a nurse. And if it does, I'll call you back.
Yeah, please do. And, you know, federally speaking, I know that the federal government will withhold student loans and grants from anyone who has a prior drug conviction. I don't know if this is going to count in that regard with your case, but even if that's not the case, when you're trying to get into a new school or you're trying to get a new job and there's that line that says, have you ever been convicted of a drug conviction, and you have to check yes, that certainly is going to impact your chances of going places in this world. And it's a shame.
Yeah. And it's really, for a while I stopped hanging out with the same people and all of that, because it was just like, I didn't want to go to jail again. But even now, I mean, I absolutely associate with people who smoke marijuana because they're not criminals. They don't, I mean,
Well, you know, we've got 25 million people in the United States, according to the government's own surveys, 25 million people who use marijuana at least once a year. So if the goal here is to not ever hang out with someone who occasionally uses marijuana, there's not going to be a whole lot of people to meet.
No.
You sound like a good, honest, you know, normal, rational person. I can't imagine that you don't have any prior criminal record or anything either, right?
No, that was my very first offense. So.
Very first offense. Not even in possession. Man, that is just incredible. Well, Catherine, you're definitely a marijuana unicorn. I'm going to get this sent out to John Walters and see what his opinion is of your particular sentence there. I'm just stunned to hear this. Thank you so much for telling your story to everyone here on the Stash.
Thank you.
That's Catherine Thompson, the winner of my Marijuana Unicorns contest all the way back in 2009. To this date, the person I know that's done the most time for the least weed. Zero weed. Amazing. All right, stay tuned. We're going to be back with a radical rant on the Bernie or bust phenomenon and the extortion by Hillary supporters to try to force us to vote for her.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Tommy Chong Show on Cannabis Radio.
You know, about this podcast, what I really want to do from now on is to solve world problems. I feel like my job is to calm everybody down and focus on how we can save this planet.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
If Bernie or bust must accept deaths from botched abortions, then Hillary's extortionist must accept deaths in Iraq and Libya. It's a sad day when you find one of your favorite writers on the opposite side of an issue. In this case, The Rude Pundit, a daily read of mine, has called out Bernie or bust people like me. Yesterday's post was entitled, "Note to Fellow Sanders Supporters, You're Gonna Vote for Clinton in the General, So Shut the Fuck Up." In this post, the rude one, like me, is a Bernie Sanders supporter, But then he rehashes the same old lesser of two evils thinking that has enabled the Democratic Party to become yesterday's Republicans and the Republican Party to become yesterday's fascists. In today's post, entitled "Scenes from Our Never-Ending Abortion War, Wiping Away a Right, One Regulation at a Time," the rude pundit's extortion is made explicitly to support Hillary over an evil Republican president who will ensure Roe v. Wade is overturned. The quote at the end is, quote, when you're in a voting booth in November, wondering if you should maintain your purity and not vote if your preferred candidate isn't on the Democratic ticket, know that you'll have the potential bodies of women stacked up on your conscience, end quote. Yeah, I'm supposed to vote for Hillary, because if I don't, women will die from abortions that have been botched because the evil Republicans have repealed Roe v. Wade. Okay. Okay. I'll accept every single woman who dies from a botched abortion and every single baby born that was unwanted under a President Trump if Hillary's voters have to accept the hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis resulting from her vote for the Iraq War. And if Hillary voters will accept all the orphaned children of Libya and Syria because of her warmongering policies as Secretary of State. Because I'm betting that far fewer women will die from botched abortions under President Trump than will die from drone bombings under President Hillary. All this extortion to support a Democratic candidate, quote unquote, is necessary when she pushes the war machine's foreign policy, Wall Street's economic policy, Chevron's energy policy, big business's trade and labor policies, and Big Pharma's medical marijuana policy. If we had anything resembling a left-wing party in this country, it would be extorting us to vote for its candidate, lest this Hillary Clinton become elected and plunge the country into wars in the Middle East and let the big banks run roughshod on the economy and promote environmentally dangerous fracking worldwide and shutter American factories by shipping jobs to Mexico and stall on medical marijuana until the pharmaceutical companies can patent it. For this extortion to work, I need to believe that the President Trump scenario is apocalyptic, and I just don't. President Cruz, on the other hand, might work to extort me. That guy is terrifying. But Donald Trump, he says outrageous things like a right-wing radio host or the old Morton Downey Jr. show. It's for the ratings. I don't believe Donald Trump even believes half the words coming out of his mouth. He's trolling the rabid GOP base for votes, and after the primaries, he'll pivot to centrist moderate, and even to the left of Hillary on some issues. And that will once again stun the political pundits. Hell, Trump's actually pissed off the anti-abortion right with positive defenses of Planned Parenthood that you'll hear from no Republican. He rightly savages George W. Bush for ignoring the warnings that led to the 9/11 attacks and for lying about the WMDs to get us into the Iraq War. And he was rewarded by W-loving South Carolina with a huge victory. He's called for reining in the excesses of hedge fund managers and cutting on military spending. Now look, don't misunderstand me. Trump's an embarrassment for the country, and not just the Republican Party. And his nakedly racist, Islamophobic, misogynist rants are unfit for politics. But in a long-term view, Trump would govern so poorly and be so despised by both parties' establishments, he'll be just a one-term president. Pundits predict that a Trump run equals a Democratic Senate, and they could block any of Trump's SCOTUS nominees who want to overturn Roe v. Wade. And look, Bernie or bust people like me aren't staying home and not voting. We'll be voting on the down-ticket races for as many Democrats as possible to obstruct a possible Trump administration. But that long-term view of Hillary Clinton is one that spells disaster for any hope of aggressive progressivism not sanctioned by the establishment. Things like single-payer health care and ending fracking and stopping drone wars and free public colleges and federally descheduled marijuana. The $150 million of net worth Hillary Clinton has earned, thanks to the largesse of Wall Street, big pharma, defense contractors, private prisons, and big energy, wasn't for her inspiring speeches. She's no Barack Obama on the speech circuit, let's just put it that way. No, she's bought and paid for, and will work to further the 1% agenda while accepting what politically beneficial but functionally ineffective scraps of progressivism that the 1% will allow so they can provide the illusion of real change. A President Hillary, having proven that money, not principle, is the way to win elections, will further convince down-ticket Dems that they, too, must abandon principle for money. With the power of incumbency and the withering of the GOP, she'll win a second term, and that rightward corporate slide of the Democratic Party, proven successful by three straight two-term centrist Dems, will be totally locked in. And we'll still be suffering from the major problems we suffer today, but President Hillary will extract minor concessions from the 1% to be able to point to progressive accomplishments. Yeah, we'll still have boots on the ground in the Middle East, but Hillary will make some minor changes that improve the VA. We'll suffer another banking and housing bubble burst, but Hillary will create some program to help with the pain of foreclosures. Americans will still suffer from medical bankruptcies, but Hillary will get another couple percentage points more people enrolled in Obamacare. Big money will still rule politics, but Hillary will win some level of disclosure for who's donating to what. Cannabis users will still be imprisoned for medical use, but Hillary will let GW Pharmaceuticals study how to put it in a bottle with a barcode. Wealth will still accumulate outrageously to the 1%, but Hillary will inch our minimum wage up to $12, eventually. There's this great political cartoon that I've been seeing on my Facebook feed, and it shows the ill-fated Titanic afloat in the ocean. Donald Trump is at the back of the Titanic, pointing at the dangerous sharks circling in the ocean and screaming, "We need to kill these sharks!" Hillary is at the front of the Titanic, explaining, "I'm the best captain here. I know all about how to run a ship." Only Bernie is on the bow, screaming, "Iceberg!" So no, rude pundit, I will not shut the fuck up and resign myself to voting for Hillary if Bernie doesn't become the nominee. I will write in Bernie Sanders so Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC can count exactly how many votes they lost by running a moderate Republican neocon warhawk for the presidency. If we reward the DNC for merely not being the knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, racist, misogynist Islamophobes, as they bow to the agenda of the 1%, well, then that's what they'll continue to be. I am sick and tired of people trying to extort me by telling me how apocalyptic things will be if Hillary does not win the presidency compared to a Republican. If we're talking about Donald Trump as that Republican, I have no fear of that. Not an apocalypse, anyway. He'll be pro-business, but Hillary's pro-business. I think when it comes to foreign interventions, he'd be less militaristic than Hillary. Yeah, he talks a lot about building up the military, but I also think he's against wasting the military. He's against losing. Donald Trump, doesn't want to be a loser. He don't want to be a loser. And so getting entangled in Middle East operations that are guaranteed to show him as a loser is not something he's going to be interested in. And women's rights, I know he says some awful misogynist things to Megyn Kelly and such and wants to screw his daughter and all that. But I don't really see him being an anti-abortion crazy lunatic like a Ted Cruz is. Being hateful against women and gays and even Muslims is just bad for business. It's great for winning a Republican primary, but in the long term, it's bad for business, and even Donald Trump will recognize that. Maybe I'm wrong. Give me a call. Phone lines are open in the next hour. It's Toker Talk Radio coming up at 4:00.
For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live in Portland. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.